Boker Tov, good morning. We are doing Daf Lamed, Daf 30. Today we left off at the bottom of 29b. On the last few lines, today's class should be for the Refuah Shlema of all the Chalim. Okay, we are at the bottom three lines on the page on 29b. Yativ Rabbi Avin Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi, sat in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Vekam minamnim Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah was dozing off. So Yadve Vekamre. So they were going back on yesterday's topic, and they were discussing Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Avin, and they said, Vekamri lebar pada, according to Bar Pada from yesterday, that he said, if somebody says this, these saplings should be a korban until I cut them. So he says, even once you cut them, you have to redeem them. So according to him, the amar pedaan chozrot vekodshot, he says, if you literally just redeem them without them being chopped, that doesn't do anything, and they return to becoming hekdesh, consecrated. So flipping the amud, tivshot debay Rav Hoshaya. You can actually resolve the question that Rav Hoshaya had. What was his question? His question was the following: Hanoten shtei prutot leisha. If a person gives two prutas to a woman, ve'amarla, and he says to her, be'achat hitkachili hayom, with one of these prutot, we should become married today. Ube'achat, and with the other one, hitkachili le'achar she'egarshich, you will become married to me after I divorce you. It's a little bit weird. So with one of them, he says, I will marry you with this coin. With the other one, he says, I'm going to divorce you at one point, and after I divorce you, right away, after I divorce you, this coin will remarry us. So the Gemara says, Hachinami dehavu kiddushay. We should say also over here that it's considered kiddushin. How does this work? So look at the Mefarish. He says, Dekihechi dehatam, just like over there, Amarla la'achar she'garshich, after I divorce you, she'atzta min reshuto, the woman already left his jurisdiction. She'titkadesh. Hainu dumia la'achar she'niktetzu. That's similar, so that in that case we said they would be married. So too, it's similar to the case of after the items are cut. Right? We said the saplings, after they are cut, they become chulin. But what do we say? According to Bar Pada, he needs to redeem them after he cuts them. So what do we say? Shiyotzin mirashut hekdesh dimatzrich lo pedaya. Still, even after they are cut, they left the jurisdiction of Hekdesh and they went to Chulin, but still we require him to redeem them for them to lose that Kadosh status. So it's similar to this case over here that requires him, that he is giving her this extra coin that after he divorces her, they would be married. So he's trying to compare these two cases and try to answer Rav Hoshaya's question. So the Gemara comes to say, Itar Behu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah was dozing off and he jumped up and he woke up. He heard this, so he woke up from what they were saying. And he said, Amar Lehu. He said to them, "Maika medamitun pedaanahu lepedaum acherim." Why are you even comparing a case of him redeeming a guy who consecrated something and he's redeeming it himself versus other people who are redeeming? What does that mean? let's look at the mefarish. Pedaanahu hamatz. We're on the amud aleph. Lamed amud aleph. Pedaanahu, someone who redeems. Hamakdish kolem shenikzesu. If somebody consecrated something before they were cut, chozot vekodshot. If he tries to redeem them, they go back to their hekdesh status. La'achar she'niktetzu, after they were chopped, even after they were chopped, de'ho'il v'hu hekdishan, since he's the one who consecrated the item, af agav de'chazar u'pida'an, chozot v'kodshot la'achar she'niktetzu. Even though he is redeeming it after it was cut, since he is the one who consecrated it, Even though he returns and he redeems it after they were cut, still they return and they retract to their original Kedusha status. Because he is the one who consecrated himself. Versus a case of other people who consecrated, that the Mefaresh says, Pidaum Acherim, Kodem sheniktzetzu, before they were cut, ein chozor rikotzot. If other people redeem something, even before they were cut, what do we say? They don't return to become kadosh anymore. They lose their kedusha status. Right? Le'achar sheniktzetzu, ve'isha shekanta atzma beget, and a woman who acquired herself with a divorce, midat atzma, from her own knowledge, ein chalin aleha kedushin de'kepeda'u acharim damya. The kiddushin does not take effect on her. Meaning, what's the story over here? The guy gives her two coins. He says, with the first coin, we should be married. With the second coin, we should be married a second time after I divorce you. That second time doesn't work because it's similar to a case of other people redeeming. And we know by the case of other people redeeming, even once they redeem, even if it's before the case of niktzitzu, it was chopped, this happens with chopped, it doesn't retract and go back to its original kedusha status. So he's saying same thing over here, damya. It's similar to that case of other people redeeming it. De'en chozot v'kodshot, kedoshot, it doesn't go back to becoming consecrated. Legabe isha nami ena mekudeshet, and so too by the woman, she does not become married. It doesn't return his coin and become make them married again, because he has to do another act after that to make it work. So he's saying, how can you compare a case where the guy consecrated his saplings versus it's similar to a other people are consecrating, like the case of the woman who she was the one who was kona, she acquired her own get. Now the kiddushin that came before cannot come and take effect afterwards. So the Gemara says, "Hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan." This is what Rabbi Yochanan says: "Pedaanu if the individual redeems them, chozrot vekedoshot, they go back and they become consecrated." Pedaum acherim, but if others redeem them, ein chozor v'kedoshot, they do not. Welcome back. They do not go back to becoming consecrated again. V'isha ki pedaum acherim damya, and a woman is similar to a case of other people redeeming them, and so therefore she wouldn't go back to becoming consecrated. If let's say the man gave her two coins, one to get married now, one to get married after they get divorced, that second one would not take effect. Because the get is like other people redeeming. It's similar to that type of case, which would end it. Itmar Nami, we also learned, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Ela Shepedanu. What we were teaching this whole point was only if the man himself, he himself redeems it. Whereas, Aval Pedaum Acherim, but if others redeem it, En Chozor B'Kedoshot, it does not go back to become consecrated again. So now we see this concept of the differentiation between he who consecrates it, he who redeems it, versus others who redeem it, which is more lenient. Okay, very good. New Mishnah. Hanoder miyorde hayam. If somebody, we're going to have a bunch of Mishnayot now, of people who take neders against someone, and that somebody either includes others or does not include others, depending on the situation. So the Gemara says, "Hanoder miyorde hayam." If somebody takes a neder from those who are seafarers, the people that go out to sea, mutar biyoshvei hayabasha, he is still allowed to benefit from those who reside on the shore, just not the people who go out to sea.
People in the ocean, people sitting on the beach.
Exactly. Miyoshvei hayabasha, if he takes a neder not to even benefit from those on the beach, on the shore. Asur miyordei hayam. He's not even allowed to benefit from those who go out to sea. Why? Sheyordei hayam bichlal yoshvei hayabasha. Because yordei hayam, those who go out to sea, are included within the category of those who are sitting on the shore. Why? Why do those who go out to sea are considered on the category? Oh, very good. They're going to eventually have to come out. You're mechaven the mefaresh. The mefaresh ends. He says those exact words. Shesofan latzet. At the end, they're going to have to come out. Since at the end they're going to have to come out, they're included in the category of those who come out the shore. So they would become asura benefit from that guy. And the Mishnah ends with this cryptic phrase that we're going to try to figure out. And it says, Lo ka'elu sholchin mi'ako le'yafo. It's not like those people who go from Akko to Yafo, which is a very short trip. You can do it in one day. Ela b'misha darko lefaresh. Rather, it's talking about a person that is commonly going on long trips, and it's a little bit more of a distance that he's in the sea for longer. That's somebody who's on the sea. Somebody who goes from Akko to Yafo, he takes a little flight over the sea. That's not considered, or a little boat ride over the sea. That's not considered, a seafarer. So, what is that line going on? So that line is a little bit cryptic. If it's going on the first part of the Mishnah, or in the second part of the Mishnah. So we're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara comes and says, Rav Papa v'Rav Acha b'Reda Rav Ika. They both had opinions. Chad matne aresha. One of them taught the line. We don't know which one. He taught that last line on the beginning of the Mishnah. V'chad matne aseifa. And the other one taught that part of the Mishnah on the latter part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains. Man detane aresha. The one who taught that last line on the initial part of the Mishnah, matne hachi, he teaches the following. Hanoder miyodei ayam. somebody who takes a neder against those who are seafarers, they go in the sea. We said mutar biyoshvei yabasha, they're permitted for those who are sitting on the shore. So what can you infer from that? Ha biyordei hayam asur. So the people who are in the sea, he's asur to benefit from them, right? Velo, coming to exclude ka'elu shehaolchin me'ako leYafo, not those who travel from Akko to Yafo. The halin yoshvei yabashaninu, because those people are considered like yoshvei yabasha, like they're sitting on the shore. He took benefit, not to benefit from those who are in the sea. Those people, they're traveling for less than 24 hours. It's not really traveling, so that's not a problem. Ela b'mimishu darkan lefaresh. Rather, it's only asur for those who are commonly taking long distance traveling. That's the first way to understand it. The second way to understand it, uman de matne asefa, the one who comments and he explains this on the latter part of the Mishnah, matne hachi, he would teach the following. Hanoder miyoshvei yabasha, someone who takes a neder, we said, from those who are sitting on the shore, not to benefit. Asur miyardei ayam, he's not even allowed to benefit from those who are traveling in the sea. Velo, and the Gemara says, velo be'elu ha'olachim me'ako le'yafo bilvad. Not only is it somebody who is traveling from Akko to Yafo, is it asur? This is a different way to explain it. Not only is it asur for those people that one day travel, ela afilu b'misha darko lefaresh, even somebody who travels a long time, if he takes a neder from those, not to benefit from those people who are sitting on the shore, it even includes somebody who's traveling for 6 months. Because at the end, he's going to have to come out. So he's included on those on the shore. Ho'il v'sofo le'abasha salik. Exactly. This is because he's eventually going to come out onto the shore, and so therefore he's part of the people of the shore. No, the question is, what is that last line commenting on? Is the last line commenting on the first part of the Mishnah or the last part of the Mishnah? That was really the question. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanoder miro'ech achama. If somebody takes a neder, not to benefit from those who see the sun. What's the din? Asur af besumin. He's not even allowed to benefit from blind people. How come? Blind people can't see the sun. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, "Shelo nitkaven ze ele lemi she'achama ro'e otan." He's only referring to somebody who the sun shines on. Meaning, even if somebody can't see, he's referring to somebody like that as well. He's not, because why he would have said, "I'm taking a neder not to benefit from someone who can't see," if he was talking against blind people. He didn't say that. He said from someone who can't see the sun. Meaning, it's a phrase to say someone who the sun can't see, whose sun can't shine on. So the Gemara comes and comments, "My ta'ama, what's the reason for this?" So the Gemara explains exactly what I just said. Midelo ka'amar, from the fact that he didn't say min haro'in, I'm taking a neder from those who can see. La'apuke, you can clearly understand, he's coming to exclude la'apuke dagim ve'ubarim. He's coming to exclude a case of fish who are in the ocean, that I guess the sun is not shining on, and ubarim, their fetuses inside their mother's stomach, who also, they're not on the outside. It's interesting. There's a Gemara, I think, in Masachet Sota that talks about the that when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, even the ubarim, even the fetuses inside their mother's stomach were singing shira, and were, you know, they were able to see aspaklaria, like a clear glass through the fetus, and so on and so forth. That they were able to see a clear on this. So over there, it sounds like they can see. I don't know how you would make that Gemara.
That was a time of miracles.
Okay, maybe Acholia, but I remember there's a Gemara in Masachet Sota about that. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanoder mishechorei harosh, somebody who takes a neder not to benefit from those who have black hair, black-haired people. Oh yeah, yeah. Most men have black hair, right? So the Gemara says asur bekarachin. He's forbidden even to benefit from bald people. How? If he takes a neder not to benefit from black-headed people, how can he not benefit from bald people? So the Gemara then says, the Mishnah says ubale sevot, and also older people. Umutar ben nashim uvaktanim, and he's permitted to benefit from women, from children. Because the people who are called black-headed are ela anashim, are considered men. Men are generally the people who are called black-headed. How come? What's the reason? So let's see the Mefarish. The Mefarish says, here, Hanoder mishechorei harosh, the first on the Mishnah, the shechorei harosh mashma shenoder meotan shayu shechorei harosh. He's talking about the people who were who were once black-headed. So even though a man is bald now, he was once black-headed. Generally, men are not always black-haired, but usually most men are. And he's permitted to, for women, the Rashi says, and Mefarash says, not Rashi, but Mefarash says, it'll explain in the Gemara. So the Gemara comes and says, "Mai ta'ama, what's the reason? What's the reason for what? What's the reason he's asur to benefit even from blind, bald people? He said black-headed.
Or gray-haired.
Yeah, so the Gemara says, I mean, it doesn't say gray hair. It says, you know, bald. But yeah, it's really, yeah, it's talking about even old. Yeah, yeah, old people is included in that category. Exactly. Midaloka amar mi baale se'ar. From the fact that he didn't say, I'm taking a neder not to benefit from haired people, He wasn't saying excluding bald. He was saying people who were once black. Meaning now they could be gray, now they could be bald, now they could be whatever color, but they were once black. That's who he's taking the nether from. If he would have said from people who have hair, then I would have said, no, bald people are mutar. But that's not what he said. Then the Mishnah, then the Gemara comments, "Umutar ben nashim uktanim." He's permitted to benefit even from women and children. She'eni karin shechorei arosh ela anashim. We said black-haired people are only considered the men, not the women.
Why?
So let's see why. Ma'ita ama. What's the reason? Very good. Anashim zimnin demichasu reshayu v'zimnin demigalu reshayu. Men sometimes they cover their heads and sometimes they uncover their heads. Meaning men sometimes have, let's say for example, you're wearing a head covering, you're wearing a hat, you're wearing something on your head. Sometimes you're not wearing something on your head. So there's no way to define you as somebody who is a covered head person or not. You always are temporarily you have your hair out, so you're a black haired person. Whereas, aval nashim, but women, le'olam michasu, they always cover their hair. Baruch Hashem. Women always cover their hair. Maybe nowadays, if you took a nether like this, most women would be included in the category of being asur, because not all women cover their hair. Right? But back then, I guess all women would cover their hair. Viktanim le'olam miglu, and children always leave their hair uncovered. Meaning, you know, like a child, they never want to put on a hat in the winter. Right? It's always a struggle with the parents, they don't want them to get sick. But for a woman, they're always considered a category of hair covered. For a child, they're always considered the category of uncovered. Yeah. Men are in this limbo, this gray limbo area that we don't know what to call them. So they're considered the ones that are black-haired. They have to be the ones that are black-haired. Let's just look at the... right. So the way the Mefaresh explains it is that why are women not included is because they're always wearing these white head coverings, so they wouldn't have black hair. That wouldn't be considered black hair. And the last Mefaresh, why children... Klomar iu ki nadar, when the guy took a neder against people who have black hair, adatad de gdolim nadar. He took a neder against adults. Vehane kevan de lav gdolinu, and these children, they're not adults. So velo nahige minha gdolim, they don't have accustomed to the accustoming of adults. So what adults are noheg. So he says, lehachi litnehu bichlal gdolim. They're not considered included in the adult category, umutar behen, and he's permitted to benefit from the children. So the Mefaresh is explaining more so because they don't cover their hair, they're not ever considered in the category of adults who sometimes cover their heads. And so therefore they're not included in this neda that he is taking. Okay, we're going to do a quick recap. I think we'll stop there for today. We started on the Amud Bet, on Kaftan Amud Bet. We started talking about a story that they were wondering, according to Bar Pada, we were thinking that maybe we can answer the question of Rav Hoshaya, that we said if a man gives a woman two coins, one of them he says, you marry me now. The other one he says, you marry me after we get divorced. He thought that maybe that second Kiddushin would count as well. The Gemara answered by saying, no, that does not count. And we really went through the concept, the difference between Peda'an Hu versus Peda'um Acherim. If he redeems, it's more strict. Versus if others redeem, it's more lenient, and that would even lose its consecration even before the saplings were chopped. Part number two of the daf was the new Mishnah. If somebody takes a neder from those who are on the sea, it's not asur to benefit from those who are on the shore, but if he takes a neder not to benefit from those who are on the shore, it's included even those on the sea. And the Gemara explained why, because as Leon said, they are eventually going to come out of the sea onto the shore, and they're included in the people of the shore. The third part of the daf was the new Mishnah. We said if somebody takes a neder from those who are ro'ei chama, they see the sun. So that's not actually seeing the sun, it's who the sun sees, who the sun shines on, meaning anybody who is on the outside, excluding fish and ubarim and fetuses. Part number four was the next Mishnah, was somebody who takes a neder. I skipped one part, which is really the machloket between if we teach that last line of the previous Mishnah of somebody who travels such a short distance, is that going on the initial part of the Mishnah or the latter part of the Mishnah? We had that machloket. And then the final part of the daf is really this last Mishnah, that somebody takes a neder not to benefit from black-haired people. It's referring to men. Why? We said women are always covering their head. Children are never covering their head, so they're both not in this category of black-haired people. Men are sometimes yes, sometimes no. So they're in this gray area, we would consider them black-haired people. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Amen.